May we all stand for the reading of the word. This morning po, we'll be reading from Psalms 106 for our Old Testament reading, and we will be reading from 1 Corinthians 10 para naman po sa ating New Testament reading. We will begin with Psalms 106, verse 6. Psalms 106, verse 6. Both we and our fathers have sinned. We have committed iniquity. We have done wickedness. Our fathers, when they were in Egypt, did not consider your wondrous works. They did not remember the abundance of your steadfast love, but rebelled by the sea at the Red Sea. Yet he saved them from his namesake, that he might make known his mighty power. Then they believed his words, and they sang his praise. But they soon forgot his works. They did not wait for his counsel. But they had a wanton craving in the wilderness, and put God to the test in the desert. He gave them what they asked, but sent a wasting disease among them. When men in the camp were jealous of Moses and Aaron, the Holy One of the Lord, the earth opened and swallowed up Dathan and covered up the company of Abiram. Fire also broke out of in their company. The flame burned up the wicked. They made a calf in Horeb and worshiped a metal image. They exchanged the glory of God for the image of an ox that eats grass. They forgot God, their Savior, who had done great things in Egypt, wondrous works in the land of Ham and awesome deeds by the Red Sea. Therefore he said he would destroy them. Had not Moses, his chosen one, stood in the breach before him to turn away his wrath from destroying them. Then they despised the pleasant land, having no faith in his promise. They murmured in their tents and did not obey the voice of the Lord. Therefore he raised his hand and swore to them that he would make them fall in the wilderness and would make them all their offspring fall among the nations, scattering them among the lands. Then they yoked themselves to Baal of Peor and ate sacrifices offered to the dead. They provoked the Lord to anger with their deeds, and a plague broke out among them. Then Phinehas stood up and intervened, and the plague was stayed. It and that was counted to him as righteousness from generation to generation forever. They angered him at the waters of Meribah, and it went ill with Moses on their account. For they made his spirit bitter, and he spoke rashly with his lips. They did not destroy the peoples as the Lord commanded them, but they mixed with the nations and learned to do as they did. They served their idols, which became a snare to them. They sacrificed their sons and their daughters to the demons. They poured out innocent blood, the blood of their sons and daughters, whom they sacrificed to the idols of Canaan, and the land was polluted with blood. Thus they became unclean by their acts and played a whore in their deeds. Then the anger of the Lord was kindled against his people, and he abhorred his heritage. He gave them into the hand of the nations so that those who hated them ruled over them. Their enemies oppressed them, and they were brought into the subjection under their power. Many times he delivered them, but they were rebellious in their purposes and were brought low through their iniquity. Nevertheless, he looked upon their distress when he heard their cry. For their sake, he remembered his covenant and relented according to the abundance of his steadfast love. Now in 1 Corinthians 10, we will be reading from verses 1 to verse 13. Again, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 to 13. For I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that our fathers were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. Nevertheless, with most of them, God was not pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things took place as examples for us, that we may not desire evil as they did. Do not be idolaters as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. We must not indulge in sexual immorality as some of them did, and 23,000 fell in a single day. We must not put Christ to the test as some of them did, and were destroyed by serpents, nor grumble as some of them did, and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now these things happened to them as an example, but they were written down for our instruction, on whom the end of the ages has come. Therefore, let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape, that you may be able to endure it. Praise be to God for the reading of His word. Muli po, magandang umaga po sa ating lahat. At ang sermon po na ating maririnig ngayong umagang ito is a sermon coming from our pastor, beloved pastor, Reverend Nolly Malabuyo. This sermon was originally preached last August 6, 2023. So last year po ito, sa Big Springs Community Church po sa Canada. And before we start, may we all bow down our heads and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word that you have prepared for us today. May you lead us and may you grant us the ability to receive your word, to understand it, and to submit to it. We lift up to you everything, O Father, and we entrust to you this day. Lead us and guide us. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Ayun po. And as we start po, gusto ko po sana magtanong kung meron po ba sa atin na nakaranas na mag-mountain climbing or mag-hiking or umakyat ng bundok. Kung marahil, kung meron man po dito, siguro po makaka-relate. Pero ako po, nakaranas na rin umakyat ng bundok nung college po ako. College. Marami po nung college. And ang masasabi ko lang po sa pag-aakyat ng bundok or sa pag-hiking, it is a mixed emotion of experience. Masaya, pero yung kasayahan na yun may kaakibat na hirap din. Alam mo yun, excited ka sa simula. The thought of doing an activity of climbing or hiking is an exciting thing to the point na bibili ka ng mga gadgets na kailangan mo, bibili ka ng mga gamit, mga bag, sapatos. Minsan, i-research mo pa kung ano yung ginagamit na gloves or kung may tent, kung ano yung pwedeng tent. Nung panahon na yun, wala pang Shopee, pero siguro nung college ako, kung may Shopee na, nakabili na ako ng kung ano-ano. Pero ganun talaga, ganun ka-excited. Pero yung excitement na yun, ganun kaka-excited, pero as along the way, habang nag-trekking kayo, doon mararamdaman at marirealize na hindi rin pala ganun kadali ang mag-hiking. Mahirap po yun, nakakapagod. Kahit to the point na 15 minutes ka pa lang sa trekking mo, mararamdaman mo, hinihingal ka na at minsan mapapatanong ka na, kahit 15 minutes pa lang, malayo pa ba? Pero marirealize mo, malayo pa, andun pa, malayo pa, isang oras pa, dalawang oras pa. At minsan dadating pa sa point na sa mga matitinding assault, ibig sabihin yung matitinding, matatarik na, malapit na sa summit, mapapaisip ka na, ba't ko ba to ginawa? Ayoko na nito, last na to. Minsan ganun. At pero sa sobrang hingal mo, everything will be flattened out pagdating mo na sa taas. Pag nakita mo na yung wonderful view, pag na-reach mo na yung peak, yung accomplishment na naranasan mo, yung hangin, at saka yung napakagandang view na mawi-witness mo sa taas, mapapasabi ka na lang na, wow, thank you, Lord. And doon mo marirealize na minsan malilimutan mo na lahat ng pagod mo, malilimutan mo na yung mahihirap na dinaanan mo, at malilimutan mo rin na pagdating mo sa taas, yung lahat ng dinaanan mo, babalikan at dadaan mo pa rin pa uwi. Pero yun ang, ano, yun ang hiking. It is indeed, overall, masarap sa pakiramdam to. It is enjoyable and really an authentic wilderness experience. Syempre, you are in the wilderness when you're doing those things. But our study for today is about that not so authentic and not so enjoyable wilderness experience ng mga Israelites. Nung nagkaroon po sila ng journey from Egypt to the Promised Land. And doon makikita natin na sa kanilang wilderness experience na yon, wala sila ng mga high-tech na gamit na kilala natin ngayon. Wala sila, pagdating sa mga equipments, nung tinawag sila sa journey na yon, wala sila ng mga high-tech na bag na sobrang gaan. Pero kahit sobrang gaan niya, sobrang dami mong pwedeng ilagay. Nung time na yon, nung tinawag sila sa journey, wala rin sila ng mga water flask na meron tayo na kahit sobrang init ng paligid, kaya mong makainom ng napakalamig na tubig. At nung time na yun, wala rin yung mga mug na kahit ano mangyari, mainit yung nasa loob. Pag naman malamig yung paligid, wala sila yung mga thermal jackets na tinatawag, na kahit anong lamig sa labas, nararamdaman pa rin nila, warm pa rin sa loob. At syempre, pag maulan, kung umuulan man nung panahon, wala silang mga waterproof na jacket, wala silang mga waterproof na bag para hindi mabasa yung kanilang mga gamit. Wala silang mga rainproof na mga tent pag sila'y matutulog. At syempre, kung sila'y nagugutom, wala po sila ng mga portable na mga lutuan ng mga panahon na yun. Naalala ko po, nung first time kong umakyat ng bundok, ang dala ko lang ho, puro delata dahil alam ko wala namang magluluto sa taas. So dapat prepared na yung pagkain. Pero nagulat po ako, yung guide namin na mga experienced na mga mountain hikers, hala, kompleto sila sa gamit. Talagang pak-pak-pak, nakaredy na yung stove, pak-pak-pak, nakaredy na yung pangluto. Nakapagluto sila ng pasta, nakapagluto sila ng adobo, nakapagluto sila ng bigas. Nagulat, ang galing. Wala sila nun, wala yung mga Israelites nun. And lastly, pagdating sa navigation, wala sila ng mga meron tayong ngayon like Google Maps, Waze, tsaka mga compass. Yun yung wilderness experience na naranasan nila. And kung i-consider po natin yung pinagdaanan ng Israelites, alam natin na maliban sa hindi sila handa sa gamit, hindi rin definitely hindi sila handa na 40 years pala yung magiging wilderness experience nila. Diba? 40 years of hardships, 40 years of hunger and thirst, 40 years of heat and cold, 40 years of hundreds of miles of wilderness wanderings. Marahil siguro pwede silang mag-expect na marahil siguro mga 1 year na travel to. Pero definitely hindi po sila nag-expect na 40 years yung kanilang wilderness experience. Kung titingnan natin mabuti, kung pinanganak ka nung day one, nung pag-alis nila from Egypt, lumaki ka na, wala pa rin, hindi pa rin tapos. Nagbinata ka na, nagdalaga ka na, hindi pa rin tapos ang wanderings nyo. Nag-asawa ka na, hindi pa rin tapos ang wanderings. Nagkaanak ka na po, hindi pa rin tapos. At nagbinata na yung anak mo, nagbinata na at nagdalaga na yung anak mo, marahil hindi pa rin tapos ang inyong wilderness wanderings. Imagine ganun katagal, possibly yung 40 years na yun. At hindi lang po yun, kundi nakaranas din sila ng hostility mula sa mga tribes na nadaanan nila sa kanilang paglalakbay. At many times, instead of separating themselves from the pagan cultures along the way, they actually mingled with them, accepting their idolatrous and immoral way of life. At sa tuwing ginagawa po nila yon, sa tuwing ginagawa nila yung mga bagay na yon, nakakaranas sila ng punishment mula sa ating Diyos with plagues and death. Kaya ganun na lang po natin maiintindihan. Kaya right from the very start, they grumbled before Moses. Nagreklamo sila at patuloy sila nagre-reklamo kay Moses kung bakit ganito yung pinagdadaanan nila. Tapos nung binasa po natin kanina, yung Psalms 106, yung napakahabang passage po ng Psalms 106, it is a long list ng kanilang mga kasalanan na ginawa nila against God habang sila ay nasa wilderness. But even so, sa mga nakita natin, sa mga nabasa natin kanina, makikita din po natin doon that God is merciful and God is still gracious to them, providing them everything that they need. Kailangan nila ng pagkain, kailangan nila ng tubig, kailangan nila ng heat, kailangan nila ng direction. God is providing them everything that they need. And also, God is still fighting for them every time na may enemy silang pinagdadaanan or meron silang kakaharaping mga tribes na gustong lumaban sa kanila. Tapos doon naman po sa binasa natin kanina, sa 1 Corinthians 10, natutunan natin na sila ay sinamahan ng ating Panginoong Jesus habang sila ay nasa wilderness. We also learn that their sins and God's judgment against them serves as an example and instruction for us that we must not be overtaken by temptations and then fall into sin against God's word. Kaya nga po, ang theme natin ng ating sermon for this morning ay tinatawag na The Church Part 5. Ito po ay panglima na pong sermon sa ating sermon series. The Church Part 5, Wilderness Pilgrims on Trial. The Church Part 5, Wilderness Pilgrims on Trial. And we will be having three headings, mga kapatid. Number one is, they had Christ, the spiritual rock. Secondly, but still they desired evil. And lastly, because they were overtaken by temptation. And ngayon po, let's proceed to the first point. First point is, they had Christ, the spiritual rock. Natatandaan ko pa po nung last time na nag-preach dito ang ating pastor na si Pastor Nolly Malibuyo, isa po to sa pin-reach niya. Ang title, natatandaan ko po yung title ng sermon na yun ay, Two Strikes and You're Out of the Promised Land. Natatandaan niyo po ba yun? It's all about yung pilgrimage, yung wilderness journey ng mga Israelites involving yung pag-desire nila for water and yung instances na nanggaling yung source nila sa bato. And the first was in Exodus 17 verses 1 to 7. So, hindi na po natin mababasa, pero this is a scenario during the early part of their pilgrim. Ito pong nangyari sa Exodus 17. God commanded Moses to strike the rock and water will flow out of it. Kasi noong mga time na yun po, talagang patuloy yung pagrereklamo at pagdedemand ng mga Israelites kung saan sila iinom dahil uhaw na sila. And God also told Moses that he would stand before him on the rock at Sinai before Moses strike the rock. And on the second event, ito po yung sa Numbers 20 naman, Numbers 20 verses 2 to 13, ito naman po ay makikita natin sa near end part ng wilderness journey nila. And after the people again grumbled about the lack of water. Yun uli yung mga panahon na yun na nagreklamo uli sila dahil wala silang tubig. And dito sabi, God told Moses to speak to the rock at Meribah and water will gush out of the rock. Magsalita daw po si Moses dun sa bato na yun. Pero kung aalahalahanin ho natin, kung tatandaan natin, instead po na magsalita si Moses dun sa bato na yun, as God instructed, ang ginawa po niya ay iba. Pinalo niya po yung bato. Not just once, but twice. Ganun po yung ginawa ni Moses. Yun po yung naging scenario nung pangalawang pangyayari ngayon. Ngayon po, dun sa unang instance, sa Exodus 17, marahil pwede ho nating tanungin, why did God stand before Moses and let Moses strike the rock? In effect, striking God himself. Bakit nga ba? And it is because it is God himself, not Moses, who will provide the life-giving water that flowed from that rock. It is God himself, mga kapatid. At ang pangyayari pong ito, yung scenario pong ito sa Exodus 17, ang ginamit ni reference ni Paul nung isunulat niya yung 1 Corinthians 10 verse 4 na binasa natin kanina. Sabi dun sa 1 Corinthians 10 verse 4, "And all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ." So dito po makikita natin na hindi po yun isang actual na rock. Hindi po yun actual na bato o literal na bato na sumusunod sa kanila. "It is a spiritual rock that followed them, for it is God Himself who followed them because He is their rock." Ngayon po, doon naman po sa pangalawang scenario, doon sa Numbers 20, "The rock that Moses struck twice was Christ Himself as well. In standing before Moses on the rock, God was putting Christ on trial, standing on the heavenly court. God, the heavenly judge, sentenced him to be stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted." Hindi para sa kanyang kasalanan, mga kapatid, dahil wala siyang kasalanan, kundi para sa kasalanan natin. "In his last few hours of suffering, Jesus was stricken, smitten, and afflicted by God, in order that He may give us eternal life and our eternal spiritual drink. God is showing us that there is a mediator better and more complete than Moses." Kaya hindi kaya ni Moses na mabigyan ang mga tao ng living water. It is Christ alone. Tanging ang Diyos lamang ang kayang magbigay nito. "And Moses could not accompany God's people into the promised land. Only Christ could, by His provision of His living water." God did not allow Moses to give Israel rest in Canaan. Hindi po niya inalaw na si Moses yung magbigay ng rest sa Israel. Because why? Because he disobeyed God during that time, sa Numbers 20. And secondly, another reason is that so that this Exodus and Numbers story might point us to Christ. Ito pong scenario na to na nakita natin, itong story ng Exodus na nabasa natin will still point to Christ. Why? Kung babalikan po natin, sino ba eventually yung tinawag ng ating Panginoon para i-lead yung Israel at bigyan siya ng rest sa Promised Land? Is it Moses? No. It was the faithful Israelite Joshua, whose name is the same as our Jesus, and which is the Greek form of the name Joshua. So parehas po yung pangalan na yun, Greek word lang po or Greek name lang po ng Joshua, yung Jesus. "And it is Christ, the one who will save His people from their sins. And it is Christ that take us to our rest in the promised land, the heavenly city of glory." Doon po sa lugar na yon, hindi na tayo mauuhaw, mga kapatid. Doon sa promised land ng ating Panginoon, sa promised city ng ating Diyos para sa atin, hindi na po tayo mauuhaw. "Because Christ Himself will be a river whose streams make glad the city of God." It can be found in Psalms 46 verse 4. "And He is also the water that is proclaimed in Ezekiel 47 verse 9. Basahin ko po yung Ezekiel 47 verse 9. "And wherever the river goes, every living creature that swarms will live. And there will be many fish, for this water goes there, and the waters of the sea may become fresh. So everything will live where the river goes." It is Christ who is the river. And also, it is Christ who is the river in Revelation 22 verse 1. Sabi sa Revelation 22 verse 1, "The river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God of the Lamb." It is only through Christ whom we could ask for the little living water. It is only through Him whom we could gain that eternal water that we need. It is such a beautiful and such a glorious truth na patuloy natin dapat tandaan at panghawakan. But the question is, as Christians, maaring mapapaisip pa rin tayo, paano nga ba nagawa ng mga Israelites yun? Paano nga ba nila nagawa na magreklamo at magkasala pa rin kahit nakasama na nila si mismo si Christ during their wilderness experience? The rock himself who gave them water from the rock and manna and quails from heaven. How could they even desire evil rather than good from their gracious and merciful Lord? That's the question. Paano nga ba nangyari yon na pinili pa rin nila yon? And that leads us to our next point. That leads us to our second point. Still, it is because they desired evil. Yun po ang ating second point. They still desired evil. Doon po sa ating reading kanina sa Psalms 106, isa po yun sa napakahabang listahan ng mga nagawa ng mga Israelites. Sabi dito, sa verse 7 to 12, yung binasa po natin kanina, the psalmist describes how they rebelled by the sea at the Red Sea. Even dun sa palang sa pagtawid nila, they even rebelled already. Sinasabi nila kay Moses na mas gusto nilang mabuhay na lang sa Egypt. Mas maayos na mabuhay na lang kami doon rather than ganito na hinahabol kami ng mga Egyptian army. Na alam nila na at least doon kahit alipin sila, buhay sila rather than hinahabol sila at gusto silang patayin ng mga taga-Ehipto. Pero dito po makikita natin na niligtas pa rin sila ng ating Panginoong Diyos mula sa mga taga-Ehipto sa pamamagitan ng paglunod sa kanila nung pagkadaan nila sa Red Sea nung yung mga Egyptian soldiers na po yung dumaan, the sea collapses and swallowed all of them. And hindi lang po yun. In verse 13 to 15, pinakita po dito na may intense craving sila sa wilderness. Sabi nga doon, may wanton craving na meron sila. They crave for meat rather than the heavenly manna. Hindi sila nakontento doon sa manna na binibigay nila. They ask for meat. So God sent a wasting disease among them, sabi sa verse 15. Hindi lang meat yung nakuha nila. Sinamahan to ng disease o matinding karamdaman. Kinuwento din ito sa Numbers 11 or Numbers chapter 11 verse 31 to 33, which it was considered a very great plague. Isa po to sa kinonsider na matinding plague. The next sin, ang sunod pong sin na makikita at mababasa natin doon, was the sin by the people that the people was against the leadership of Moses and Aaron. Hindi lang po sila nagreklamo sa kanila, kundi nainggit din sila sa leadership and sa power or position na meron sila. Maraming nainggit at nagselos kung bakit si Moses at si Aaron yung pinili na mag-lead sa Israel during those journey. Ang ginawa ng Diyos, anong ginawa ng Diyos dun sa mga taong yun? Binuksan nila yung lupa sa ilalim ng kanilang mga tents at hinayaan silang lamunin ng lupang ito. At hindi lang po sila nilamon ng lupa, yung iba po, pinaulanan ng Diyos ng apoy. At ito po ay mababasa natin sa number 16. Ganun po katindi yung mga panahon na yun pagdating sa sin na ginawa na nila. And the next great sin on the psalmist's mind was the worship of the golden calf at Mount Sinai. Hindi po sila nakontento doon, kundi after everything, nag-invento pa sila or nag-create pa sila ng sarili nilang Diyos-Diyosan. They were not content with everything that was given to them, with the revelations that was shown to them, and with the power that manifested to them. They exchanged the glory of God for the image of an ox that eats grass. Ganun po kababaw yung pinagpalit nila sa ating Panginoon. Ganun na lang kabilis silang makalimot sa mga matitinding bagay na ginawa ng ating Diyos sa kanila at para sa kanila sa Egypt at during those times sa Red Sea. If not for Moses' intervention, kung hindi po dahil kay Moses, God would have destroyed these idolaters right there and then. And then sa verse 24 to 27 naman, nung malapit na sila sa promised land, ito na po, nung malapit na, nagpadala si Moses ng mga espiya para silipin yung Canaan, yung promised land na pinangako sa kanila. Pero sa pagbalik nila, lahat sila ay bumalik na hindi maganda ang balita. Para sa kanila, na-overwhelmed sila sa nakita nila. Sinabi nila, maganda yung lugar, fruitful, flowing with milk and honey. But the problem is, there are lots of giants there. There are lots of big people or malalaking tao yung mga nandun. Na-overwhelmed sila sa kung sino yung mga nandun. Para sa kanila, they were like grasshoppers compared to the giants of the land. Ganun po katindi yung report na sinabi ng mga espiya. Ang problema, yung mga tao naman po ay mabilis naniwala. Pagdating ng report na yon, naniwala agad mga tao. At ano yung naging result? Nagreklamo po uli sila. That's the point. Nung narinig nila yung negative report pagdating sa Promised Land, imagine after 40 years of their wilderness, matatanggap sila ng ganong report na ganun pala yung pupuntahan nila. And then nagreklamo sila and saying na mas mabuti pang mamatay na lang sila sa Egypt. Yan yung sabi nila. Mas mabuti na pang mamatay na lang kami sa Egypt kesa mamatay kami sa kamay ng mga giants na ito na hindi lang kami kundi pati mga asawa namin at mga anak namin ay madadamay. Ganun katindi yung mga murmurings o yung mga reklamo na meron sila. And with all this, God wanted to destroy them. But again, Moses pleaded for them. God did not destroy them, but judged them by preventing none of that generation who escaped from Egypt entering the Promised Land, including Moses. So they were all overthrown in the wilderness. And in verses 28 to 31 at 34 to 39, they committed idolatry, worshipping and sacrificing the pagan gods. In verses 32 to 33, they again grumbled against Moses because they lack water at Meribah. Yun yung nabasa natin kanina. For all of these things, for all of this unbelief and evil deeds, God judged them by giving them to their enemies who oppressed them as slaves. At mababasa po natin yun dun sa verse 40 to 43. Pero after all of these things, after all this long list na nabasa at nakita natin, na nahimay natin, kahit ganun katindi yung pagre-rebelde nila sa ating Panginoon, ganun pa rin katindi yung awa at habag nito sa kanila. He remembered His covenant promises to their forefathers as what was said in verses 44 to 46. And all these ancient events were not merely to satisfy our curious minds. Ito pong mga bagay na ito ay hindi lang po para ma-inform lang tayo to satisfy our curious minds of what happened. For what is the purpose of this spirit breath words of God sa Psalms 106? Ano nga ba yung naging purpose ng mga binasa natin sa Psalms 106? At sabi sa 1 Corinthians chapter 10, yung binasa po natin, verses 6 and 11, sabi dito, they are examples for us so that we might not desire evil like they did. Again, that's the purpose. Verses 6 and verse 11, for us, they are examples na para iwasan natin. They are instructions for us to be reminded of what does it mean to disobey God and to desire for evil. They are warnings for us that God punishes the unrepentant. And if not in this life, it is in the life to come. And in 1 Corinthians 10, verses 7 to 8, we are commanded also against sexual immorality. Hindi lang against those things, but also sexual immorality. And this is not just adultery, but all kinds of sexual perversion that are being advocated in our present culture. Yun po yung sa 1 Corinthians 10. Sa dalawang verses na ito, sa 7 and 8, makikita natin yung connection or yung relationship ng sexual immorality at idolatry. Again, verses 7 and 8 shows the connection between sexual immorality and idolatry. Sa verse 7, it describes what the people did in their idolatry. Sabi dito, do not be idolaters as some of them were, as it is written. The people sat down to eat and drink and rose up and play. Paul is quoting word for word what the Israelites did in Exodus 30 verse 6 when they worshiped the golden calf at Mount Sinai. Yun po yung sinabi doon sa verse 7. At paano naman po ito naging connected sa sexual immorality na sinasabi sa verse 8? Yun pong salitang rose up and play na nabasa natin sa verse 7, hindi po siya parang larong-larong bata. Hindi po siya yung pag sinabing playtime ng mga bata. Hindi po yun yung ibig sabihin ng rose up and play. These are really sexual in nature. Sexual dancing, sexual singing, and sexual intimacy. Such as what the Egyptians and other pagans did in their worship. Dito po, sexual immorality is part of their idol worship. Kahit ng mga unang panahon po, makikita natin sa mga temples, sa mga place of worship ng mga pagan cultures, meron po doong mga area in which tinatawag na temple prostitutes. O mga lugar kung saan doon nila ginagawa yung mga perverted na mga sexual immorality na acts. An example of the use of words rose up and play is in Genesis 26 verse 8, where the Philistine king Abimelech saw Isaac laughing with his wife Rebekah. He knew then that Rebekah was Isaac's wife because of the laughing and playing, because laughing and playing are synonymous to sexual intimacy. It's more on the play of words during that time. It's similar to caressing na ginamit sa KJV and NASB. And this is a serious warning of clear and present danger in sexual immorality. It leads to idolatry, just as the Israelite men who took pagan wives that became idolaters. At nangyari din po ito kay Solomon at sa mga sumusunod na mga hari. Familiar po tayo dun, that they all suffered and they struggled with that sin. It's not just idolatry, but also sexual immorality. Magkakonect po sila. So sa atin naman po, in our present time, ano naman po ang posibleng mangyari sa isang professing Christian na mag-aasawa ng isang talagang unbeliever? The professing Christian, usually the husband, is seduced to becoming eventually an unbeliever and worse, an idolater. Kaya ganun na lang yung warning ni Paul sa 2 Corinthians 6 verse 14 to 15. Again, 2 Corinthians 6 verse 14 to 15. Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers, for what partnership has righteousness is with lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? What accord has Christ with Belial? Or what portion does a believer share with an unbeliever? Again, he lumps all kinds of sin as idolatry, as said in Colossians 3, verses 5 to 6. Hindi lang po sa 2 Corinthians, but also in Colossians 3, verse 5 to 6, sabi dito, put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of this, the wrath of God is coming. Again, on account of this, the wrath of God is coming. God's wrath came down to 23,000 Israelites who worship Baal, the god of their pagan Moabite woman. At paano pa siguro yung mga tao sa panahon natin ngayon, mga kapatid? Kung ganun na yung nangyari at nakita natin ng mga panahon na yun, paano pa sa mga panahon natin ngayon? Sino-sino ang makakatikim ng punishment na to mula sa ating Panginoon? Kung hindi man ngayon, siguradong ito ay mangyayari sa pagdating ng araw ng paghuhukom. Marahil minsan, natitake for granted na ito, minsan we take the justice of God lightly dahil parang wala namang nangyayaring solution or wala namang nagiging justice na nakikita tayo sa matinding mga idolatrous or matitinding sin in this world. But still, we are being reminded that the judgment is not just here in this present time, but the ultimate justice, it would be done in His day when He came back. And next in verses 9 to 10, the Israelites put Christ to the test. Hindi po yun natapos dun, but they put Christ to the test when they were impatient with God on their way to the promised land. Hindi sila makaintay sa pagkain at inumin at kung ano man ang mga bagay na maaari nilang maranasan pagdating sa promised land. Ang dami nilang reklamo, hindi sila nakontento sa mana na natanggap nila. Kung siya talaga ay isang makapangyarihang Diyos, pwede nilang sabihin na bakit hindi nilang niya tayo dalhin doon diretso nang walang paghihirap at pagsakuna. Pwede naman talaga sana. But still, it's not what happened. Hanggang dito, wala silang tigil sa pagrereklamo nila, murmuring continuously na parang mga bata. So God destroyed them by sending serpents and the same angel of death who destroyed the Egyptians. It is the judgment of God. And again, in 1 Corinthians 10, it expresses na lahat ng mga tao ay lahat ng mga ito ay naisulat para hindi natin gayahin ang mga bagay na nabasa natin. Yung mga bagay na nabasa natin during the time in Exodus and also in Psalms chapter 106. And this is the reality right now, mga kapatid. Maraming mga pastor ang magtuturo at magsasabi na be like Noah or be like Abraham or be like Moses or be like David or Paul. Marahil yun yung mga naririnig natin sa ibang mga pastor ngayon. But what Paul is preaching here in 1 Corinthians 10 is don't be like the Israelite pilgrims in the wilderness. Don't be like them. They were evil in God's sight and God judged them. That's the reality. We learn by mistakes, but the Israelites did not. We must learn from the errors and evil ways of the Israelites in the desert and of God's people throughout the history of the church. At ngayon po, mga kapatid, kung titingnan natin yung present time, kung titingnan natin yung sitwasyon natin ngayon, alam naman natin na lahat ng simbahan ay may problema. Hindi lang po yung Israelites yung may problem, but even the churches right now have problems. Alam natin na walang perfect church at alam natin na walang perfect na believer. We all know that. And as you start your difficult pilgrimage, brothers and sisters here in Zion Covenant Reformed Church, be mindful that all are still sinners. As we start and as we continue our journey in our Christian walk, we must always be mindful that we are still all sinners. So there can still be evil deeds and grumbling even inside the church. Hindi lang sa labas, kundi sa loob. Kung babasahin po natin yung 2 Timothy chapter 3, again, 2 Timothy chapter 3, makikita natin na sa last days there would be evil doers who are lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unpeaceable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasures rather than lovers of God. That is 2 Timothy chapter 3 verses 2 to 4. And ang tinutukoy po ba dito ni Paul ay yung mga tao na wala sa simbahan? Yun ba yung tinutukoy lamang ni Paul dito sa mga verses na to? Hindi po. Ang tinutukoy niya ay yung mga taong nasa loob din ng simbahan. Even yung mga professing Christians. As the Belgic Confession says about the marks of the true church, that the church will always have the company of hypocrites who are mixed among the good in the church and who nonetheless are not part of it, even though they are physically there. Again, there are hypocrites or false converts or false Christians that are still physically part of the visible church. We know that Paul here is warning about the same kind of people in the church in verse 5. Sabi dito sa verse 5 ng 2 Timothy, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power, avoid such people. Avoid such people. They appear to love God and say and do what godly Christians do, but in reality, they deny the power of the Spirit to change them and to give them true repentance and mature them in Christ. At times, they may even profess true repentance of faith. Pwede nilang sabihin at pwede nating marinig yun sa kanila. But their actions belie their words. They may profess some one thing, but their actions and their lifestyle means another thing. Paul says, avoid such people. And if you believe by your own power or persuasion, mga kapatid, and your words of wisdom, that they would be restored, be forewarned. Kaya tayo winawarningan ni Paul sa mga ganitong evildoers ay sadyang meron at merong mga tao sa loob ng simbahan na instead na i-encourage tayo na mag-repent sa ating mga kasalanan, ay i-impluensyan pa tayo at isasama pa tayo sa kanilang mga maling gawa. And that's the reality. That's why we are to always be vigilant. We are to always be careful. And that's why it is important for church discipline inside the church. But the scriptures were written down for our instructions on how to handle these problems. And it is always important. If not, the problem is many will be overtaken by the temptation of sin. Kung wala yung salita ng Diyos to guide us, to warn us, to discipline us, to train us, many will be overtaken by the temptation of sin. And that's our third point, mga kapatid. And the third and last point. Because they were overtaken by temptation. Those people that we have read were overtaken by temptation. Ito po yung mga nangyari sa Israelites as we look back. Even when they had God dwelling with them in the desert, tabernacle, guiding their paths and teaching them His holy ways, they still desired evil. When they did, they were overtaken by lots of temptations to do evil. They were tempted to crave for food and drink they had in Egypt. They were tempted by jealousy against Moses and Aaron, God's appointed prophet, priest, and king. They were tempted by Egyptian idols and sexual immorality. They were tempted by unfaithful spies to doubt God's unchanging promise to their forefathers. They were all tempted, not just once, but continuously, and they give in. They chose evil and give in to those temptations. At sa mga nabasa at nakita natin, nawa maging warning to sa ating lahat. May this all be a warning for all of us. Dahil maaaring pwede nating maisip na mas matibay naman yung pananampalataya natin kumpara sa kanila. Minsan, out of yung tremendous na listahan ng mga sins, minsan mararamdaman natin may self-righteousness marahil na feeling natin mas okay naman tayo kumpara sa kanila. Hindi naman tayo sagad-sagaran tulad nila. And minsan, those are the dangers of it. Na marahil pwede nating maisip na mas matibay yung tayo natin compared sa mga Israelites. Pwede nating maisip na hindi naman ako nagkikrave sa mga ganong bagay. Ayos na sa akin na McDo, burger, ayos na yon. Hindi na ako magkikrave ng kung ano man. Hindi naman ako yung nagdedemand ng kung ano-ano mga pagkain na wala dito. Hindi rin naman ako nagagalit or nagsiselos sa kung anumang position yung meron yung ibang tao o sa mga leaders ng church. Wala akong ganun. Hindi ako nakakaranas ng ganun. At hindi naman ako idolater. Wala naman akong Diyos-Diyosan sa bahay. Hindi naman ako katulad ng ibang tao na may mga figures pa. Or hindi naman ako sexually immoral. Such justifications we could say and such reasons that we could justify for ourselves. Na meron akong matitinding pananampalataya sa Diyos, sa kanyang pangako, na nanggagaling sa kanyang banal na salita. Kaya nating sabihin yon. But beware, mga kapatid. Beware because God's testing of your faith comes with afflictions, sufferings, and other trials. Beware, mga kapatid, because trials and afflictions will always be there. Paul warns, take heed lest you fall. Ika nga. The great men and women of faith in the Bible also fell into sin. Noah's drunkenness led to sin. Abraham and Sarah doubted God's promise of a covenant son. Moses became, because of his impatience, disobeyed God's command not to strike the rock. And David committed adultery and murder. They were strong in their faith, but nonetheless sin because they were overtaken by temptation. And another solemn warning to us is in the first part of 1 Corinthians 10 verse 13. Sabi dito, no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. And totoo naman po yun. When our sufferings are so great, we tend to think that no one else is suffering the pains and afflictions that we are dealing with. No one else understands our suffering. Pakiramdam natin sa kung ano man yung nararanasan natin, kung ano man yung challenges, yung weaknesses, yung temptations na pinagdadaanan natin. Feeling natin tayo lang yun. Feeling natin kaya ganun kahirap yun kasi tayo lang at ganun tayo kadiling mag-suffer dun sa mga challenges na yun. Dahil akala natin tayo lang yung nakakaranas ng mga sufferings na yun. But God says that all sufferings are experienced by other people as well. Lahat ng ating spiritual, physical, emotional, and financial challenges ay nararanasan din ng ibang tao. Hindi lang po tayo nakakaranas nun. People try to justify their sins because they suffer so much, unlike the sufferings of others. Yun po yung madalas na justification kung bakit sila nagkasala. Eh kasi wala naman sila sa posisyon ko. Kasi wala naman sila, hindi naman sila tulad ng nararanasan ko. Marahil sa mga pagkakasala ng ibang tao, yun yung mga justification na sinasabi nila. But if our sufferings are common to others, then our excuses for sinning disappear. If our sufferings are common to others, then our excuses for sinning disappear. Kung nagagawa na yung iba na ma-overcome yung kasalanan na yun at yung paghihirap na common sa ibang tao, bakit ikaw hindi mo kaya? Bakit tayo nag-excuse pa? And the second part of verse 13 must also be noted. Sabi dito, God is faithful and He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, He will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. It is all too common for Christians to ground their faith in God with these words. And tama naman po yun, and dapat naman po yun. But the way we often use this verse is not what Paul means. Minsan po, namimisinterpret natin yung verse na binasa natin pagdating sa temptation. Because in reality, and this is the reality that we are to be reminded, mga kapatid, we could not endure many sufferings in our life. Why? Because of our weaknesses. Because of our sinful tendencies that make them too hard to bear. Yun na naman po yung katotohanan doon. Yung katotohanan na mare-remind tayo na wala naman talaga malakas sa atin. And every temptation is a struggle. Every fight and every affliction is heavy. And we read many psalms lamenting the psalmist's unbearable sufferings. David laments in Psalms 22 verse 1, my God, why have you forsaken me? And in Psalms 13 verse 1, he cries, how long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? No, God often sends us temptations and trials that we couldn't even bear. And we fall into despair, even bitterness against God. Marahil may mga kakilala tayo dati na kasama natin sa pananampalataya, even nung tayo mga bata pa. Ngunit ngayon, in their 30s and 40s, wala na sila sa pananampalataya. Meron kayo maiisip, meron kayo mga aalala-alang mga taong ganun o mga kaibigan o mahal natin sa buhay. At bakit nagkakaganon? Marahil dahil naging ganun katindi at ganun kabigat yung mga challenges or sufferings na pinagdaanan nila sa buhay. Minsan nasisisi na nila yung magulang nila kung ano nangyari sa kanila o yung mga kapatid nila or even ang Panginoon mismo nasisisi nila so kung bakit ganito yung pinagdaanan nila sa buhay. Even Paul himself attest to these unbearable sufferings. Makikita natin to sa 2 Corinthians 1 verses 8 to 9. Again, 2 Corinthians 1 verses 8 to 9. Sabi sa verse 8, "For we do not want you to be unaware, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia. For we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself." Nasa sobrang tindi ng kanilang pinagdadaanan, even yung buhay nila mismo, gusto na nilang isuka o bitawan. And sabi sa verse 9, "But yet, indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death, but that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raised the dead. And that's the answer to it. Kung bakit nga ba binibigyan tayo ng ganitong paghihirap at challenges ng mga Panginoon. "So do not say, God will not give me trials and afflictions that I cannot bear. Rather, we may say with Paul in verses 9b that God sends us afflictions to make us rely not on ourselves at all, but on God who raises the dead." That's the theology of that aspect. He is our only way of escape. Nung sinasabi dito na He will provide the way, and the only way is Christ Himself as well. No other way. No other way, mga kapatid. If we say that we can overcome our sufferings, then it speaks of our unbelief in God and our belief in our own self as if we have the capability of it. If God can do the impossible, such as raising the dead, how can He not deliver us from our afflictions? But if we rely on our strength, temptation will overtake us. Therefore, our only hope in suffering that we cannot bear is God's deliverance. Yun lang po yung tanging pag-asa na meron tayo, mga kapatid. It is only through the power of the Spirit that He delivers us from our trials. And as we end, dear friends, mga minamahal kong magulang at kapatid, God has given us the scriptures so we may know His will for our lives. All His words are for our instructions so that we may not desire evil and fall into sin. His word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. And if our temptations, trials and afflictions are too heavy for us to bear, God promises to deliver us through the work of Christ and the Holy Spirit. And this is what Paul teaches us in Philippians 4 verses 12 to 13. Again, Philippians 4 verse 12 to 13. "I know how to be brought low, and I know how to be abound. In any and every circumstances, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, of abundance and in need. For verse 13 says, I can do all things only through Him who strengthens me." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You today and praise You for Your word. We have been reminded of Your holiness, of Your righteousness, and Your faithfulness to us, to Your people, to Your church. Yet we still sin. Still we live our lives with certain thoughts or actions that rebel against You. We are unfaithful, inconsistent, and blinded by pride. Forgive us, O Lord, of our foolishness, even though we believe that we can't save ourselves nor merit something to earn our salvation. We are deceived to think that we can fight sin on our own, to live our Christian lives by mere religiosity. We try to live our Christian lives by pretending that we are capable, strong, and stable, but deep inside we are empty and can be trampled by even a simple temptation. We have built defenses for ourselves without acknowledging you as our rock. But we thank you for your word today, for reminding us of our sinfulness, for allowing us to reflect on our weaknesses, but also reminding us of your grace. Your glorious grace is evident in all of these. Indeed and always, your grace is sufficient in all our weaknesses. Our sins would try to blind us from you, to cause us to walk away from you. Yet you are the one who continually calls us and compels us to run to you and depend on you whenever we get to see the reality of our fallenness. We praise you, O Lord, and may you continue to help us endure this life, a life that is spiritual yet will always have continuous battle with our flesh. We thank you because on our own we can never obtain righteousness. Yet you, O Jesus, have lived righteously for us, for our sake, and have died on our behalf. May you continue to transform us to your image through the help and work of the Holy Spirit. Sanctify us through your word and allow us to live in such a way that glorifies you. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.